we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
I have the product that solves the problem. Watch how it works,
okay,
ladies.
Right. We're okay. Ready. Look at the smile on our face. Now, Ron, you're about 3 inches from his scalp.
Right. And that's all you do.
And you're just spraying it like you would with a bottle of hairspray or something.
It's as simple as that.
What do you think? I mean, you can't see a bald spot. What did you just say?
I said to put my glasses on because it actually does look like hair growing there. Totally bald 2 seconds ago.
She just said, I'm waiting for a miracle.
Yes, I believe this is your miracle, yes. Okay?
This entire GLH hair system can be yours.
This is incredible. How have I gone my whole life without covering my head in spray paint? Amazing. Look, there's good things out there. And I'm not just talking spray on hair good. Have you experienced the best thing ever? Jesus Christ was crucified nearly 2,000 years ago. They buried him in a tomb and thought it was over. But Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose on Resurrection Sunday. But that's not all. It's so much more than a good story. He will raise you from the dead too. He will give you peace, joy, comfort, you name it. He's got it. Are you ready for the best thing ever? When you experience the best thing ever, you will realize that you were going without. Stop settling for less.
Would you agree with me that we are always looking for better?
Yeah.
You're looking for better right now. You're looking for the latest and greatest. We see things that are newer, faster, prettier, the latest style, and we want them. Right? We want those things. You are itching right now. Let me just have the spirit of a prophet right now. Right now, you are itching to buy a new smartphone. Someone in this house is itching to buy a new smartphone, right? You don't have to be a prophet to figure that out, right? Because they've got these new smartphones coming out all the time, and they're sleeker, they're neater. Some of them, they type out on the side, and so like your phone could be on its side, and you see news updates, and you need that. Let's face it, you need that. You're itching right now, not because to buy a new cell phone, not because your old one broke, but because there's a new one out there. We're up to the Galaxy S7, and you need the S7, right? You're always looking for a better job, right? If you're always looking, if someone came up and you heard had a line about getting a better job, a better paying job, a better salary, would you just say, oh, no, thanks, I'm good where I'm at? No, you'd be like, tell me more, and are they accepting applications, right? That's what you would do. A promotion at work, it would mean more money. It would be better. It would mean more authority. Absolutely. So sometimes we're just always looking to get up in the world all the time. That's us. We're always looking for better. Even when we love where we live, right? Who loves their home? Do you love your house? Are you thankful for your house, but are you always daydreaming about a better home? Maybe you're daydreaming about a new home or daydreaming about a way to improve, to make your home, current home, better. We're always doing it. New cars, new clothes. New usually means more expensive, but we won't talk about that. It usually means better. We are addicted to better, aren't we? If we can be honest, yeah, well, that's my addiction. Yeah, we just gotta have it. Today and for the next 4 weeks, everyone said 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about the quest for better. Often we are searching for better when God is standing by, willing to give us the best. All right? Welcome to Redemption Church, everybody. You're here on Resurrection Sunday. I applaud you. Thank you for being here on this Sunday afternoon. I want to welcome you to Redemption Church. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm the lead pastor here. I am so blessed. I hope everyone is having a great Easter. We are honored to have you join us today. Absolutely honored. When Jesus died, can we talk about when Jesus died for a moment? Talk about when he died, because there is no resurrection without a death. When Jesus breathed his last on the cross, it was as if hope itself had breathed its last. the people standing by that believed he was the Messiah, when they saw him carried off the cross, a limp, dead body, all of their hope was gone. The teachings of the man Jesus had turned the nation of Israel on its head. There was such power in his words, such understanding in his words, such revelation. All the experts were, he just whipped the fire out of them by just speaking. He put everything on its head. But that was now only a memory of a great man, because there's his dead body. That's what happened when Jesus died. The man did things that no one else had ever done. He healed the blind. He healed the leper. He even raised the dead. But for some reason, and they're just scratching their head trying to figure out, he did not heal himself. They don't even know what to make of that. But there is Jesus laying dead. They were certain. They were certain that Jesus would be the king of Israel, that all the prophets told them were coming. The king of Israel that would overthrow evil and redeem that nation and bring peace. They were sure of it. Just a week earlier, they had all the palm branches. They were saying, Hosanna. They were welcoming a king riding in to Israel. But then they saw this happen to him. And let's face it, no king would ever look like Jesus just looked like. No king could go through that. And you would never look to follow that person going through all that he went through. And now he's dead. When Jesus Christ died and was buried in a tomb, it seemed like the worst thing ever. That's what it seemed like, didn't it? Jesus was supposed to make things better. Everyone said better. Better. Jesus, you're supposed to make things better, but now it's just worse. I imagine that some of his followers said something like this, either out loud or to themselves. They might have said, I wish I'd never even met him. With this ending of the story, I wish I never started on the journey of this story. I wish I had never met him. I wish I had just kept mending my fishing nets, and that guy would have come up and said, follow me. And I said, no, sir. That's what I wish I would have done. The last 3.5 years of my life are nothing now but a bad memory. If there were ever good memories, this memory right here has redefined everything. It's bad. It stinks. It's the worst thing ever with a dead Jesus. In Luke chapter 24, two such disciples of Jesus were talking on the road. They're walking to the road of Emmaus. And they said this about Jesus. Verse 19, he was a prophet. What's the operative word there? Was. He was a prophet. Let me tell you about what he was. He was a prophet. He was powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. Verse 20, the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. Verse 21, one of the saddest verses in the Bible. But we had hoped. Hope in a past tense is always really sad, isn't it? It was like when he breathed his last, hope died and breathed its last. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this happened. He was a prophet. They had hoped. At this moment, the death of Jesus was the worst thing ever. Have I got you convinced? Do you need any more convincing? This was absolutely the pits. It's the worst. But the resurrection changed everything, didn't it? The resurrection of Jesus Christ, it changed everything. The resurrection, it changed the worst to the best. Amen. The worst thing ever becomes the best thing ever when Jesus Christ rose on the third day. Let's read about it. We're going to read some passage together. Follow along with me. It's Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 1, after the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, that's a Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other women went to look at the tomb. This is Jesus' tomb, verse 2. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. All right, now it's getting interesting, right? And going to the tomb, that single angel rolled back the stone and sat on it. Verse 3. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. Verse 4. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Now, these are the tough Roman soldiers, right? They shook and were very afraid. They were like little sissies in the presence of this huge host of angels.
No, one angel.
One angel and these very highly trained killing machines known as the Roman soldiers shook and became like dead men themselves. Verse 5, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified." Verse 6, he is not here. He has risen just as he said.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if that doesn't get you to clap, I might as well just stop my sermon right here. He has risen just like he said. He's alive. Come and see the place where he used to be, where they used to lay him. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you, verse 8, so the women hurried from the temple, afraid yet filled with joy. Have you ever felt something like that before? You're like, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I'm a little worried. I mean, like, I could be insane here, but I'm filled with joy. Now, can I time out? Most of your experiences with God are going to be just like that. God tells you to go do something, and you're going to be like, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I'm really excited about it. Yeah. If you've never experienced that today, that ought to be your prayer. God, let me feel what they were feeling right there. A little afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. Wouldn't you love this moment? Like, greetings. How you doing? It's me. Good to see you. Hey, is that a new shirt? I like it. No, this is Jesus. He's showing up. It's been the worst thing ever. They've just gone through the worst of their life. They have just rethought everything in their mind. And Jesus goes up and his first words are, hey, how you doing? Greetings. Greetings, he said. They came to him. They clasped his feet. They got down at his feet and they worshiped a risen Lord. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. We serve a risen Lord. We serve a risen Lord who changes the worst to the best. He changes your fear to strength. He changes your anger to love. He changes your failure to victory. This is what he does. All anyone ever needs is for the risen Lord to show up on the scene, and it changes everything. I don't know what you're going through today. You might have like a whole laundry list of things you're worried about. About to lose your home. You're about to lose your kids. You're about to lose your mind. You're a Dallas Cowboy fan and you just don't know what to do about it. Whatever it is that you're going through, you just need Jesus to show up on the scene. Lord, help my Cowboys. Amen. Do you believe this story?
Yeah.
I believe this story. This actually happened. This actually happened in that same Jesus that showed up and said, do not be afraid. I can tell you about some times he's shown up and he said those exact words to me. Yeah. Don't freak out. I am with you. Hope died on a cross, but hope was resurrected. Now we all have hope.
Yeah.
The healer died on a cross, but he was resurrected. Now we can all be healed.
Praise God.
The Savior died on a cross, but let me tell you, he lives again, and now we all have salvation.
Jesus.
Look at somebody and say, the resurrection is the best thing ever. Look at him. Come on. Come on. Even if you don't know him, it won't be that awkward. Come on. You're at church. The resurrection is the best thing ever. Best thing ever. Can I tell you, if Christ had not raised, it would have been the worst thing ever. Before this moment that they see him, it is absolutely the worst. The best these women can manage to do is, let's go take care of his dead body. Without a resurrection, it's the worst thing ever. A death without the resurrection is just another sad story in a long line of so many sad stories we have here on planet Earth. Sad stories of what could have been. We had hoped that he would have redeemed Israel. He was a prophet. This is just another story of we thought it was going to be this way. Without the resurrection, Jesus would have been another story of a good person that tried to change the world but failed. Just add him to the list. Without a resurrection, his story would be at best a small blip in history. Largely forgotten, if not completely forgotten. And we who are gathered together today as Christians, as people that believe in the Lord Jesus, as people that believe in this story, as believers, look at how the Apostle Paul describes us without the resurrection. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 16. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. I'm telling you, if Christ is not raised, it's the worst. It doesn't get worse than that. Whatever you've got going on in your life right now, you think, oh, I couldn't handle this. Like whatever this is. Oh man, if that happened, I just don't know what I'd do. And we have those things in life. Let me tell you, it doesn't compare to this story of Christ. If Christ had not been raised, there is nothing more worse, nothing bad that you could ever experience in life than that right there. What does he say? He says, you are still in your sins. You're still in your guilt. You're still in your shame if Christ is not risen. He says that your faith, what you've applied your life to, what you believe in, it's futile, it's weak, it's powerless if Christ is not risen. Your loved ones that are asleep, they're buried in the grave, you'll never see them again. They're lost. They're gone forever. If Christ is not raised, you'll never see them again. If Christ is not raised, it is the worst thing ever. Without the resurrection, Jesus' words were not even true. Without the resurrection, he was just another dreamer. Without the resurrection, there is no hope for us. We will die too. We won't be raised. Without the resurrection, death comes to all people. Death is undefeated. The grave swallows up everyone. The grave always wins. But on the third day, Jesus rose from the grave. On the third day, Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. That's what he did. On the third day, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, same chapter, down a few verses, verse 55, it says this, where, O death, is your victory? You see, death, I saw you were undefeated. Man, what's this? I see this number over here, it's like 100, that's your number of wins, but there's a number after this dash now. What is that? One. What does that mean? Redemption Church, what does that mean? He was defeated one time by a man named Jesus. It goes on to say, where, O death, is your sting? You used to sting everyone, death, But I can tell you, someone, you did not sting. They defeated you. And even more than that, because of him, you aren't going to lay a hold of me either. The grave will not contain me either. Death will not contain me either. There will be no sting that overcomes me because of the best thing ever, Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you that the resurrection, do you get it? It is the best thing ever. I hope you believe it. I don't know how to make you to believe it. If you're a Christian and you don't let that like light a fire under you, you need to check your pulse, because you are looking straight at the best thing ever and yawning. Instead, you're thinking about the Galaxy S7. Overpriced at best. All right. Without resurrection, the death of Jesus is bad. Look at somebody and say, it's bad, dude. It's bad. It's bad. We understand this, right? Okay, Jesus comes along and then he dies. It's worse, right? Things just got worse, right? Worse. It's bad. Without a resurrection, our lives are worse. But do we understand this? That with a resurrection, our lives are better. I mean, you follow this, right? It's pretty simple, right? Jesus rose again. Oh, this is better. I'm happier now. This is great. This is really sweet. I'm so glad that I did meet him. I'm so glad I did say, yes, I'll follow you, Jesus. And did just put my nets on the ground and followed him. Absolutely. But I want you to know something. We got this better and we got this worse. But I want you to know the resurrection does not make your life marginally better. Marginally better. I've got a friend over here. Austin, you come on up here. This is my good friend here, Austin. And Austin just got himself a car. What kind of car was it? A Volvo. A what?
A Volvo.
A what year?
1992.
A 1992 Volvo. Hey, it's a classic. That's a vintage car. Now, it runs on gas. It's not one of those solar-powered vehicles, right? Okay, so I've got right here, I've got a gas card. Could you use a gas in your car?
Yeah.
You could do that? So this is $5 worth of gas for your car. You could use that, right?
Yeah.
Does that make your life better?
A little bit,
a little bit, right? Makes it about $5 better, right?
Yeah.
It's not like I just handed you a check for $1 million. It's not like I said, hey, I'm paying for all your college tuition, but hey, like the next 2 or 3 gallons are on me, right? That's a little better, right? Now, you can have that $5 gift card, or would you trade it in for this $6 gift card? Which one would you rather have?
$5
or $6?
Is
five's enough to fill? I picked the wrong person. You're supposed to say that you'd rather have the $6 one, right? Why? Why would you rather have the $6 one than the $5 one? It's more. Is it a lot more? It's just a little bit, right? It's just a little bit more. It's a little bit of something better. You know what I'm saying? It's just marginally better, all right? Now, I love you so much, you can have both, all right?
Yeah.
You can be seated. The $6 gift card is just a little better than the $5 gift card. Yeah, we'll take that. Of course, every one of us, except for him, would take... It's so hard to pick volunteers around here. Every one of us would pick something better. And we're built like that. We look all around our life, and we're always looking for the better thing. Where's the better place to eat? Yeah, we could eat there, but this place is better. And you know what? Before you buy anything, you pull out your smartphone, and you search Google Shops, and you go, oh, I found a better price. We're just going to order it from Amazon. And you walk right out of the store. You've done it because you're always looking for something marginally better. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ, what he offers you, is not just marginally better. It's not just slightly better. In fact, there's not really a good example of it. The best example I can kind of come up with is this. What if, man, our church budget wouldn't allow for it, but what if I could pull out a gas card that was an everlasting gas card? And I could say, man, would you rather have that $6 gas card, or would you rather have an everlasting gas card that would pay for any gas, any tank of gas ever. You just use this card and it will give you all the gas you could ever have. Now, I couldn't afford that, but you would have taken that, right? In fact, would you give me the 5 and the 6 in exchange for the everlasting gas card? You would, right? Because it's not just marginally better. Is that when it comes to gas, that would be the best thing ever, right? You'd probably tell, in 20 years, you probably won't tell people about the $5 and the $6 gas card. But if I handed you an everlasting gas card, you'd pull that out all the time. You'd be like, oh, let me buy you some gas. And you'd like tell them, hey, my pastor gave me this. Pretty cool, huh? Yeah, it's an everlasting gas card. It's really great. Because those best things work like that. You're excited about the best things. Marginal things, they just work in the moment. It's like, woohoo, I found a nickel on the ground. That's great. Keep walking, right? Life is like that, but Jesus is not. Amen. Jesus is not a marginal improvement. He's not just slightly better. He did not take the stripes on his back to just make your life a little better. He did not carry the cross to Calvary to make your life just slightly improve. He did not put nails in his hands, let those nails go through his hands and through his feet so that you would have just a slightly better faith. Or so that you'd slightly feel more attached to religion. No, he did not do that. He did it to give you the best. Not better. Best. Not slightly improved. Best. You get that? The difference between $5 and $6, that's just marginal. Jesus gives us not just better. He gives us best. If I were able to pull out and give you that everlasting card, that everlasting gas card, that would be so awesome. I'd love to give you that. But that's what Jesus gives you. He doesn't just give you a better life. He gives you everlasting life. The resurrection is the best thing ever. Do you understand how radically better your life is because of Jesus? I mean, just insanely, crazy, upside down, stop the presses. Everybody I know needs to know. Do you have a moment? Let me tell you this awesome thing that happened. How radically better your life is because of Jesus Christ. You ever dream of winning the lottery? Right? We had the Powerball here. And raise your hands, all you people, y'all dreamed about winning the lottery. It's like, even if you didn't buy the lottery ticket, you're like, well, $500 million. I could buy some kolaches with that. Like, you thought that, right? You ever dream of, you pull out that $1 and you buy the winning lottery ticket and you go from $1 to like $1 million? That's crazy. It's hard to even fathom that in our heads. Let me tell you, what Jesus gave you was a lot more than that comparison. That's right. That comparison doesn't even work. Because you didn't have a dollar to give. And let me tell you, $1 million runs out, but what he gives you never runs out. He gave you more than better. He gives you the best. Isaiah 61 tells you some of the best things he gives you. Get this trade that God gives you. To bestow on them a crown of beauty. Crown of beauty. Everyone said a crown of beauty. Instead of ashes. Which one do you want? Crown of beauty or ashes? Austin? Crown of beauty. All right, good. Now he gets it right. All right. What would you rather have? The oil of gladness instead of mourning and crying and tears. Which one do you want?
Oil of gladness.
He gives you the oil of gladness. And what would you rather have? A garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Which one would you rather have?
Praise.
Which one's better? Is it just marginally better? No, it's radically better. Let's look at Isaiah 53. This is Jesus right here. It says, surely he has took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Your infirmities are your sicknesses, your diseases, your cancer. Whatever disease or sickness you can think of, he took them up and he carried all of your sorrows. Does that sound like a good exchange? He did. He took it. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. Verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions. So let me get this straight. Get this picture. He takes a piercing, but not just the piercing. He takes all your transgressions, all your shame, all your sin, all your failures. He takes them all. Sound like a good deal? Is it just a marginal improvement? No, it's not. He was crushed for our iniquities. Iniquities are more than just, it's a big biblical word for more than sin. You've got some sins where you just mess up, like you hit your thumb with the hammer that time and you said that wrong word. You were like Kelly Clarkson, and like you hurt yourself like that. And you didn't mean to say it, but it just slipped out. Iniquities is a way heavier word than that. It means that you knew it was sin and you went ahead and did it anyway. You knew it would hurt people and you went ahead and did it anyway. You knew it was robbing and hurting and destroying lives and you did it anyway. You think of iniquity, it's way heavy. He was crushed for your iniquities. Is that just a marginal improvement, what he did there? Is that, well, what a nice gesture of him. No, you don't say it's a nice gesture. Oh, nice gestures, you say, hey, I'll write him a little card and thank him. That's what you do for nice gestures. No, this is so huge, I don't think a card will do it. You ought to devote the rest of your life to this guy. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. So you had punishment coming your way, and he said, no, that's not yours. And he hands you peace instead. Does that sound marginally better? Or does that sound like the best thing ever? By his wounds. You take time to think about the wounds of Jesus. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And this is not little rose thorns, although they hurt so bad. We're talking like inch long, 2 inch long thorns. They fashioned that together. They jammed it down on his head. It touched his skull. It went through the skin. It jammed into his skull. That's just some of the stuff he went through his body. Some of the wounds that he took and handed you healing instead. The cat of nine tails being pierced in the side. All the awful things that the crowd said to him and stripping him of almost all his clothes and humiliating him and you name it, all the emotional damage he went through. He took that. He gives you healing. I'm telling you, it's the best thing ever. It's better than anything I could ever give you. You're here on Easter Sunday. Can I tell you something? You could just seek to have something better today, just a little marginal better. In fact, you could have some family time. That's awesome. That's so cool. That's some better stuff. You could have just a marginally better family experience today. That's really cool. You could go paint some eggs, go get the kids and have them have pictures with the Easter bunny, right? That'll just be a marginal improvement. You could do that today. It's great. No judgments about it. You can come to church and you can get some good feelings in the room, right? Like, oh man, we were singing songs. I just felt really good and I felt a little better. I felt like marginally better. You could come in here today and have that marginal improvement. But I want to tell you, God has something better than that. You can hear an inspirational sermon. You can receive something better to help you go the next few days. But I got to tell you, he's got something better for you than that. Jesus has something for you today that is so much better than better. He's got something that is best for you today. If you have been a Christian most of your life, okay, if that's you I'm talking to, I want to tell you, he still has best for you. Sometimes we become Christians. It's like, well, I've been a Christian all these years. I know everything you're talking about. I hope these other people that haven't received it, go ahead and receive it. That would be so good. No, wake up. Wake up. Because you're just hanging around in the better zone, but God still has best for you. Here's what 1 Corinthians 2:9 says. It says, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared. The better things, the best things that he has prepared for those who love him. Don't you think you got a grasp on just how good he is? Don't think that you have mastered the art of understanding how much he loves you. Don't you just stop it with your with your way of saying, well, I've experienced everything there is to experience of God. No, you haven't. He is best. He's got best for you today, Christian. And if you've never been a Christian, I want to tell you, oh, you please listen to me. He's got something so good for you today that you could walk out of here, your life changed forever. Not just like I got a little better, not just I felt a little better, not just I had a light turn on and I learned a life lesson. No, I mean, he gives you a very real brand new life, that he redefines your life, and what you thought of yourself, you no longer think of yourself. You see yourself as he sees you, as loved and worth dying for. If you've never been a Christian, if you've never come to know him today, I want to tell you, God has best for you. Do you want it? Do you want it? Here's what I want you to do today. I want you to spend some time asking God. I want you to ask him two things. What do you have for me today? I want you to just get that sentence in your head. What do you have for me today? And second, I want you to ask him. I want you to tell him, actually. I want your best. You said you had best for me. I want your best. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. Three things. We keep it real simple. We've worshiped God together. We've done that. We've received the Word of God together. We just opened up a very simple sermon here today, but it was the Word of God, and you listened to it. Now the third thing is this. We want you to have a talk with God. We want you to take some time. We're going to just take some time for you to talk to him. I want you to ask him that question. God, what do you have for me today? And I want you to tell him, I want the best. Here's how we end our services. You can go over here and you can take some communion. You could have some time alone with God if you want to do that. We also want to invite you to come talk to God here at the front, all right? No pressure. And if that's not your thing, okay, you can just stay where you are. No judgments at all. But if there's something about you making a choice and saying, you know what, I'm going to do this, and you get up from your chair and you come talk to God. Now, if you come down here, no one's going to bother you. Like, that's one of those things. People come to church like, these people, I don't know these people. They could be weird. And let me tell you, we could be weird, but we won't bother you. If you come down here in the first few feet right here where I'm standing, this tells us something. This tells us that you want us to pray with you. If you come up here, expect to be prayed for. If you want somebody to join with you in prayer, if you've never been saved, if you don't know what that is, if you've never been a Christian, you need to come up here today. We'll just talk with you. You can leave here today a Christian. You can leave here today born again and receiving God's best. These altars are open. Why don't you come as Sarah sings? And I'm going to pray for you real quick. God, in Jesus' name, thank you for the best thing ever. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the stripes. Thank you for the three nails. Thank you for the crown of thorns. And God, thank you for the grave that you were buried in. And Lord, thank you that you're no longer on the cross. And thank you, God, that you're no longer in the tomb. Lord, I pray today that somebody will go beyond a marginal improvement in their life. Lord, I pray, Lord, that somebody makes the decision to ask you for the best. Lord, we know, Lord, that you're able to do it. I've received it. I've seen it, God. Lord, bring the best into our lives today. In Jesus' name, we pray. Come on, let's take some time. You need to talk to God.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.